Talktainment Radio, worldwide sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are in touch with the compensatory concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am the co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. We have an interesting topic that we will share with you. In the meantime, if you would like to get in contact with the show, this is the number that you use, 1-877-932-9766. Yes, it is a working number. That is the number you call again, 1-877-932-9766. Now, if you would like to view us and hear us on TV, you can go to the YouTube channel, type in the word Talktainment, and then scroll down and type in the word radio, and then scroll again and type in Talktainment number 2, and you are there. While you are there, hit the subscribe and like button. Also, you can, if you want to email me, you can, or Gmail, that is, the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And you can do this one to hear the entire program live. You can go to facebook.com/talktainment, and you are there. But we would like for you to use this. Just go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on programs, and you're there. Hit listen live is the what you want to do, and you're right there. You don't have to do anything else. Subscribe and like button there. Okay, I think that's all out the way. Don't forget to donate. Yeah, don't forget that. There will be a special announcement this hour and next hour concerning that. Okay, the interesting topic today is going to be the counter-racist codified response to the government shutdown. Now, I need you to keep in mind that when Mr. Fuller addresses your question, he will address it in a codified counter-racist way. You got to keep that in mind. I think some people have gotten off that way. But this is where the focus is, a counter-racist codified response to whatever we are going to discuss or whatever your questions are. Make sure that they are lined up like that. Now, with that being said, let me present to some and introduce to others, if this is the first time, Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you on this Wednesday, the 23rd, 2019?
I'm still learning.
You are still learning. Okay, we have garnered a topic, the counter-racist codified response to the shutdown. But before we get into that, I know that you use or look at a lot of publications, news. I know you're very astute with the Washington Post and other publications that you use. But have you seen or anything that perked your interest that you would like to open up the introduction to the program with?
Well, nothing except just the usual news and the usual things that are going on throughout the world. Because I always take the world view when you talk about racism, because it's no way to have a perspective without doing that, that is correct. And I think that is constructive. And so you look at all of the details. You don't miss the details of what's going on in different places, even the smallest towns and villages and whatnot, but also keeping your mind on the big picture and what has to be done on the grand scale. And for sure, with the focus being on what an individual person should be, in my opinion, thinking about and speaking about and acting on a daily basis, minute by minute, wherever he or she happens to be, with the focus being on just two words, you might say, or you might say three words, constructive problem solving. That's just about it, because that's what is really needed and has been needed all along. It's not that complicated. Constructive problem solving should be what a person wakes up with every morning and goes to bed with every night, wherever he or she might be. And, of course, the major problem that we should be dealing with, because you can't solve any other problems without doing that, when it comes to people, and that's the problem of racism that we sometimes call white supremacy. You have to replace that problem with a problemless society, social system throughout the world. And if you're going to replace one system that's a problem with a better system, you evaluate what that system is that you're replacing. And if it's racism, which is designed to mistreat people, well, then you replace any system that's designed to mistreat people with a better system, and that better system would be presumably a system of justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help in all areas of activity, 24/7, without exception.
Okay. With that being said, Mr. Fuller, last week, and also, I believe it was also this week, Robert De Niro, actor, called President Trump a racist. Earlier this week, Bernie Sanders, independent representative, also called the president a racist. In counter-racist codified way, does it surprise you that they or others also have called the president a racist? And what does that mean in regards to how are we as victims of this mistreatment to respond to that?
We just listen to it. First of all, you listen to what is being said, which is the codified procedure for everything.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is saying something, you don't look at who's saying it first.
Mm-hmm.
That's secondary. Look at what is being said, and then think in terms of the question, what does that mean? What you know, you want to get it straight, what it means when a certain person says a certain thing, whomever that person may be. And the only person who can answer that question would be, you know, when they use a word, calling a person a racist, you have to find out from that person what that means, and then you have follow-up questions. What should be done about it, if anything, or whether or not a person should be a racist? First of all, what is a racist? What does a racist do? Should a racist be doing what a racist does? And then you follow suit and a number of questions so that you get what? Focus and clarity from that person's point of view. Because not everybody who uses a particular word mean the same thing or have a prescription for it. If it's something that needs to be corrected, if they're pointing out something that is incorrect and they think it needs to be corrected, you want to ask questions about all of that. So just listening to it on the surface is not adequate. You just listen to it and say, well, it looks like one person is calling another person a name. Okay, what does that name mean? What are you supposed to do as a result of that? Because everything comes down to what are you going to do, not what the situation is. That's important because mm-hmm. you have to analyze what the situation is. But what does the average person listening to this supposed to do? What am I supposed to do when I hear that? When I hear someone put a label on someone, okay, and I'm not the one who's putting a label on the person, so then I will ask the person who is using the term, first of all, does this involve me? Am I supposed to do something when I hear you say that? What am I supposed to do when I hear you say that about somebody else? And then you follow, you might have 3 or 4 dozen questions after that.
Okay.
Why? Because all problems, if it is a problem, are solved through what? The process of questions.
Question and answers. Yes, sir. Okay, 1-877-932-9766. We are speaking with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and he is addressing the question, what the counter-racist codified response to the government shutdown, and he has introduced the codified protocol in addressing that. Let's go to the phone lines. All right, caller, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question, please?
Hi, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. This is Reggie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mr. Fuller, black female and California Senator Kamala Harris recently announced that she was going to run for U.S. president for 2020. I just want to get your opinion. Do you think that white supremacy is ready to select another black person to be the face of the presidency? Why or why not?
Oh, I don't know, because I'll only know that if and when it happens or doesn't happen. I can't predict what the white supremacists have in mind from day to day, but I try to. But it's no way, I don't think, to reliably do that. But if they do it, then you can start examining why they did it, because white supremacists always do what they do in order to give strength to the system of white supremacy. That's just counter-racist logic. If you're a racist, anything that you do is going to give strength to the racist system. That's what you have in mind, no matter how it looks on the surface. So you always keep that in mind. So any move that they make, if the person is a racist. Now, if the person is not a racist, then that's a different story. If a person is a counter-racist, meaning they don't believe in racism, that they do believe in justice, then that's completely different. But you always suspect, in a racist system, any move that a white person makes, and that white person may be a racist, is to give strength to the system of white supremacy, no matter how it looks on the surface.
Okay, but how does that address the fact that Kamala Harris has announced that she is going to be a candidate for the president to run against President Trump? I guess I missed it or didn't understand your response or your codified response to the caller's question.
Oh, well, Ms. Harris is a person classified as non-white, correct?
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so she gives her own explanation about why she's doing it, I guess. If you're a candidate running for office, So you just take her reasons for doing what she's doing as being the reasons for doing what she's doing.
Okay.
But whether or not white people, those who believe in racism, will help her to do it, and for what purpose, that will all play out as evidence. It'll be self-evident
mm-hmm.
when it happens. You won't know until that happens.
Okay.
But actually, any non-white person can say that they plan on doing anything.
Okay.
But white people are going to get involved in it.
All right.
World dominated by white supremacists. So therefore, it comes out, it's just going to have an effect of ending white supremacy, or it's just going to be maintained through some other disguise like it has been.
Okay. I think I understand it. Regardless of who it is, we still have to remain in that counter-racist, codified way so that we can understand or make clear what is going on based on what they said, whoever they are in this, and whoever made the statement, and in this case it was Kamala Harris, who indicated that she's going to run, take a stab at running for president. But we, as victims, always have to stay in that counter-racist, codified way so that we can respond logically to whatever is being said. Would that be correct?
Well, that's correct. In other words, the position of a victim of racism should be, according to counter-racist logic, it's not over until it's over.
Okay.
In other words, you don't pay much attention to anything that's going on except when you get up in the morning, does racism still exist? That's the question. And if the answer is yes, it's just like nothing has been done.
Okay.
That's rock solid. I mean, you wake up. Otherwise, you don't get on that hobby horse.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotions going up and down and up and down, year after year, week after week, month after month, decade after decade. And you might say that you're jerking yourself around.
Okay.
When you're in that type of mode.
Okay.
You wake up every morning, if you're a victim of racism, and the counter-racist logic is, does racism still exist?
That's the
on
question.
This planet?
Yes, sir. Okay.
And if the answer is yes, zero is what you sent on. Nothing has been done because it still exists.
Okay. Got it. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you, and if you missed it last night, you really missed it, and it is the Quay Morgan Hill Show. I'm here to tell you that show is completely outstanding, and if you haven't heard it, you should hear that. That young lady and her guests really whoop it up. I mean, in a very good way, very positive way. That show, the Quay Morgan Hill Show, and all other shows that Talk Team at Radio has to offer, they're really all fantastic. But this one, since I'm highlighting it, check it out, the Quay Morgan Hill Show. As a matter of fact, all these shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com, and all you have to do, really, is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and click on programs, and there is a list of all the shows that we have, and I'm here to tell you, it is really good. And they didn't tell me to say that either. Mm-mm, it's really good. You owe it to yourself to do that. From TalkTainmentRadio.com, that is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And today's topic for January the 23rd is the counter-racist codified response to the government shutdowns. And Mr. Fuller has been addressing that in a codified way. You got to remember, we have to stay in that mode. He just mentioned, when you wake up, you ask that question, is the problem of racism solved? And if the answer is no, then you have to know what to do, understand what to do, and then even be codified in your response. And Mr. Fuller will speak more on that, but right now we're going to go to the phone lines. Caller, what is your question for Mr. Neely Fuller Jr.?
How are you doing, Mr. Fuller? This is Mr. Eric Goodrum from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
Oh, okay. How you, all right. My question for Mr. Fuller is this. He has always said a definition of justice of, and about those who need the most constructive help. My question for Mr. Fuller, in the system of white supremacy, is it safe to assume that all non-black people, all the prisoners, automatically would need the most help? Would there ever be a situation where the prison and the warden and the guard would be need more help than the prisoners? So would it be safe to assume that in a system of justice, if there's a group of people, the people that you would identify to help with the most would be the non-white people automatically because they're the prisoners?
Absolutely. In the system of white supremacy, the non-white people of the planet need the most help automatically. You always start with the people that need the most help. And if you're going to have justice, and you, but you, in the process, you have to guarantee that no one is mistreated. Now, that's walking a pretty thin tightrope. But the presumption is it can be done. Lots of things that people say can't be done, that can be done. Otherwise, there's no point in talking about justice. Just come to the conclusion that to have justice is totally impossible. And some people, some writers, scholars have said that. Justice is impossible. You can't achieve justice. You can't, you know, you can't have a world where nobody's being mistreated. You just can't, it can't be done. But lots of things that people have said can't be done have been done. That's been proven down through the ages. Lots of things that people said was absolutely impossible. Those things have been done. So the codified ideology is any problem that people make, people can solve. The problem of racism was made by people, so that problem can't be solved. And people also produce a thing called non-justice. So if people produce that, you can have a world of justice. You can have a world of justice, and you can do it in record time. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out affair like the white supremacists like to tell black people. Well, you know, it takes time. It takes, you know, well, another 5,000 years maybe. You know, we might get it like it ought to be, somewhat. It'll be a little shaky, and black people get in that type of thinking. One of these days, moaning and groaning, I mean, we'll just slowly, step by step, painful step, slogging through the mud, down a dirt road, pulling rocks and whatnot, and then maybe, one of these days, we'll see sweet Beulah land here on Earth when it can be done in 15 minutes. We got to get out of that type of mentality. That slow drag.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught that.
Mm-hmm.
The victims of racism have been taught that. And we have adopted it. I mean, we even sing songs that talk about struggle. Struggle. We're supposed to be going at jet speed, not struggling. I mean, it's just a matter of having determination and pushing the correct buttons.
Okay.
I mean, this is, what, 2019? We shouldn't even be having this conversation. We shouldn't even know what a conversation like this is like.
Okay. Here is a question from the Gmails from Brother Reeves. He asked this, I guess this is a series of short questions. He says, Mr. Fuller, how do you respond to white people that deny there is a system of white supremacy? Is that as hard to prove as accusing someone of being a racist? And what follow-up question would you ask? Do you debate them or simply accept their answer and walk away?
Well, if you give an example, if a white person says to me, or anybody says to me, that white supremacy doesn't exist, this conversation is over.
Period.
Period. because the premise is that it does exist. So there's nothing else to discuss. I'm going to act on the premise that it does exist. Now, that white person or whomever it is can act on whatever they think the premise is, because I am duty-bound to be against racism and for justice. And if you say non-justice doesn't exist, that everything is just, that people, nobody's being mistreated, if you take that position, that's not a debate, not with me, as a victim of non-justice, as a victim of racism. There's nothing else for me to say. What is it, else is it to say if that person has come to that conclusion? Now, if the person wants to discuss it and go into detail, I'm willing to do that at any time and all the times, which is what I do. If a person says, well, I could be incorrect, so let's talk about it.
Okay.
So we can talk, all right? But if the person says, now, I'm going into this discussion on the basis of, I'm not going to budge an inch. Racism doesn't exist. And what you're talking about, buddy, doesn't make sense. And I'm not accepting it. There's no such thing as any white supremacy. So I'm not changing from that. Okay, well, I will talk to you, sir, when you change from that, because there's nothing else to discuss.
Okay, so then that answers the last part when he said, do you debate them or simply accept their answer and walk away? You just walk away because, as you said in the beginning.
Well, you tell the person.
Yeah.
You're always courteous. You tell the person, well, there's nothing else for me to say.
Right.
I've already taken a position. This is a position. I'm not budging from that position. And apparently you're not budging from yours. So what you're telling me is basically that it quite possibly, I'm duty-bound to suspect this, that you are racist, sir. Of course, I would suspect that anyway.
Okay.
So that means, you know, you're taking a position of an enemy, my enemy, based on my color. You think that you have a blank check to mistreat me on the basis of my skin color. That's your criteria, and I'm taking a position that you don't.
Okay.
And so, therefore, I'm supposed to be codifying myself as best I can to eliminate your position, period.
All right. Quickly, because we're almost up against a break, but he asked this, based on what you just said, he said, is that as hard to prove as accusing someone as being racist?
Oh, you never accuse anybody of being racist.
Okay.
No victim of racism ever accuses anybody of being racist. You only say, according to the code, I suspect you could be one. Why? Because I have no reason to suspect otherwise. In a system of white supremacy, if you're classified as white, you could be a white supremacist, since there is, as far as I know. Now, I don't know everything, but somebody might have a master list of every white person on the planet who is indeed a verified racist. There might be a list. I haven't heard of any such list. If I heard of that list, I would like to gain access to it.
Yes.
So anytime I'm talking to a white person, I would just go down the list. I would just hit the buttons on the computer, go down the list. Their name is not on the racist list. So I would say, oh, this is Mrs. Schumann, and her name is, say, Helen Schumann, and she's a white lady. All right, I'll say, oh, Ms. Schumann, your name is not on the racist.
Okay, excuse me, Mr.
Been cleared.
Okay, excuse me, Mr. Fuller, for the interruption, but they're telling me I have to go to break. So hang on to that, and I'll get back to you. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the Talk to him at radio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to let Mr. Fuller finish what he was speaking about, and then we'll take more of your questions. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Talktainmentradio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. Talktainmentradio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals, or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo. The author of the Essence magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
All right, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Today's discussion, January the 23rd, 2019, is the counter-racist codified response to the government shutdown. We're trying to get to that. We are at least efforting. We are having Mr. Fuller address that particular question. And as you noticed, as he always does, all of his answers are stated in a codified response. So this is nothing new for him, which is the way that we should be thinking, because he indicated in the first segment that when we wake up in the morning, that is what we should be thinking about or asking this question: has the problem of racism been solved? And if the answer is no, then this is what we have to do, and there's a code to that. Before we can take a phone call, Victor Palmer, this is your opportunity to call in. You know, you did ask me, so you can call in 1-877-932-9766. Aisha, if that's the correct pronunciation, excuse me, your question is forthcoming. And Homeschool 257, we got you on deck, okay? So just hang on. We'll try to get to you. But before we do, we're going to take a phone call. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
All right, Mr. Fuller, I'd like to ask a question with a short follow-up, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. All questions are valid.
Okay. Now, what is your codified response to a victim of white supremacy that understands that they are a victim, but they have sexual contact with white people? And you say, you know, sometimes about the slave that might get the extra cornbread or the one that gets, you know, to stay in the house. You know, they may have done favors for those privileges or whatever. So what is your codified take on a slave understanding that there's a system, understanding that they're victims, but they still have sexual contact with white people for benefit?
Oh, we all do. We all have contact with the white supremacists for benefits because we are prisoners of war. So if you're a victim of white supremacy, a non-white person anywhere on the planet, any time of day or night, you are a prisoner of war. You were born in prison. So therefore, you know, if you get some cornbread or if you have a weakness for a white person sexually, and all like that, that goes with the territory, because you're a prisoner. So what you say about it is just that. Prisoners of war act like prisoners of war. That's why we have to get rid of the system of racism, because it is what it is. We'll remain this way. Our existence doesn't really mean anything. We say Black Lives Matter and all like that. Matter in what context? See, when we, you know, this is an excellent statement to make, but then that calls for a lot of in-depth discussion. How do Black lives matter? And what do they matter for? In order to accomplish what? What makes a black life matter? See, it might be 1,000 questions right behind that one statement. I understand a couple of black ladies coined the phrase, but if you're going to discuss that, that calls for maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 questions, maybe 30 questions, maybe 3,000 questions. You know, matter how, when, where, in what context, as compared to what, as compared to whom, in what area of activity. So in answer to the question, Oh, yes. What's your response to it? That's to be expected. That's the response. Anytime a black person does anything in the system of white supremacy, whether it's correct or incorrect, it just is what it is. You're still a prisoner of war. See, this is why it's so imperative to just concentrate on one thing, not pecking around the edges of the system of racism like it's supposed to exist forever. That's what we have been doing as victims of racism. No, it is a system of government that should never have existed in the first place. So you always look at it like that. You don't look at it any other way. Something that never should have existed at all. Not for one fraction of a second. No one is supposed to be mistreated because of the color of the skin. That is insane.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is super insanity.
What is your second? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
People shouldn't be mistreated for any reason. But, I mean, that is one of the most shallow reasons you can, you know, that's like saying a person that has one fingernail longer than the other is eligible to be mistreated. It's in the same context. The color of the skin makes you eligible to be mistreated. The fact that this has lasted so long, this an idea like that shouldn't have taken off for even a fraction of a second. That should have been laughable for the first person to even mention that. But it's no joke.
No joke.
And it has become the most powerful government that the world has ever seen, called the system of white supremacy, where every non-white person is made by, even before birth, to be eligible for mistreatment by anybody who is white, in particular, and if it fits the occasion to satisfy a person who's classified as white, anybody who's non-white can mistreat another non-white person. That's the whole racist doctrine. So therefore, in a capsule, you should expect anything to happen that shouldn't happen in the system of white supremacy to a non-white person.
What's your second question, or rather a follow-up question, sir?
So, other than destruction, how can victims of white supremacy or racism take apart a system that they don't have the tools to take apart with or the know-how? Other than destroying the system, like with violence or just blowing it up or whatever, how does a victim take apart something that someone else put together or another group put together without the proper tools and the know-how?
Okay.
We're doing it now, just by discussions such as this. In other words, in order to take something apart, you know how to have to know how it's put together. See, what has been a huge problem among black people, particularly in the Northwestern Hemisphere and presumably throughout the entire world, is that we pay strict attention to each other. We wake up in the morning and go to bed at night thinking about other black people. We're trained that way. We don't pay attention to anything else except when we're forced to. If we stop and think about it, that is a huge weakness. When you're a prisoner of war, you don't go around the prison yard spending your entire existence studying other prisoners. You're not going to learn anything doing that. You study the prison that you are in and who's running it. This is how you codify, counter-racist codify.
Yes.
Get out of prison. Counter prison. This is how you counter the prison system. You can't learn nothing by studying other prisoners.
That's what
we do.
That's what Andy Dufresne did in the movie Shawshank Redemption. He studied what was going on.
He studied the prison that he was in. He didn't pay a whole lot of t- attention to the activities of the other prisoners.
Yes.
Even though the other prisoners were abusing him and all like that, he tried to think beyond that.
Yes.
He studied the warden.
Yes.
He got access to the warden's office.
Yes, he did.
All right. He systematically started thinking of doing things like, hey, I can improve the level of intelligence of the other prisoners, all of them, by not opting for a pool table, which is what some of them were thinking about asking for.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a library in here. And in this library, you can go in and you can study a lot of things. Like he went into the library that he had made through the warden's office, and he was doing what? Studying rock formations.
Yes, yes.
And by studying rock formations, he found out the materials that the prison was made out of.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And in studying that, he found that the prison was probably made out of inferior materials, the walls. And this is how he was able to burrow out. A lot of people may have missed that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mister,
that's one of the lessons in Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, sir.
See, he was always thinking about the environment that mm-hmm. he was in.
Yes, sir.
And how he got in that environment. And also, more than anything, so once he was in it, he knew he wasn't going to get out of it except to figure out a way to get out of
mm-hmm.
it. And that's where an answer to the caller's questions, that's what we're supposed to be doing
mm-hmm.
all the time, codifying every move we make by studying what? Our entire environment.
Yes.
And where we fit into it.
So before we go to break,
and
Mr.
We can't do that by just looking forward to getting together with some other black people and having what we call a banjo time.
Yes.
Which is what we basically do. We look forward to that more than anything else.
So,
get together, go down by the riverside, turn some flips, pound on some banjos, beat some drums, and fall down exhausted
mm-hmm.
and until Master comes along and says, okay, party's over. All right, all you slaves get back to work.
So, Mr. Fuller, would you say, before we go to break here, Andy Dufresne's codified response to what was happening is those four questions that you always have, or have you been suggesting that we ask? What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? When do you want to do it? And what is the expected constructive result of that?
No, the questions are, what do you want to do?
Yes, okay.
Ask yourself that every day when you get up. What do you want to do? And then the next one is, why do you want to do it? That's very important. Underline why. Why do you want to do this thing that you want to do? You know what you want to do. Why do you want to do it? And then the third thing is, how do you plan to do it? Because if you're going to do something and you got a reason for doing it, well, you should have a plan. Whether it's constructive or non-constructive, you should have a plan. Why? Because if you don't have a plan, it's likely not to work. So you sit down and map out a plan, but you first have to know what it is you want to do. A lot of people can't even answer the first question. Oh, man, I just do something. It's whatever people tell me to do. That's how I live my life. You know, well, you know, that's all it is to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. Don't make no difference what it is. And see, that's a model prisoner in the system of white supremacy. Just drift along, go out in the prison yard, you know, walk around, walk over here and talk to this prisoner about a whole lot of nothing. And then you get tired of that, so you walk over there to the other prison and talk about a whole lot of nothing and get tired of that, and then go back to the prison cell and do the same thing over and over again for the next 2,000
mm-hmm.
years
mm-hmm.
if you're breathing that long.
Okay.
Unlike Andy Dufresne, who from day one started figuring out, how am I going to get out of this mess that I'm in?
Okay, so now before we go to break, so I can get, because I did write this down before we go to break here, get this straight. You got to ask the what, the why, the how.
And the last one is, the fourth one, what do you expect the constructive result to be? Now, these are in the textbook for victimization
right.
Racism.
Which is why, I'm glad you said that, which is why we have to usher in this. TalkTimeRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTimeRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And our topic today for January the 23rd, 2019 is the counter-racist codified response to the government shutdown. Of course, Mr. Fuller has been answering or suggesting to the questions that have come up. But it is at this particular time, since he mentioned it just a moment ago about it's in the book, this is the time that we have selected that Mr. Fuller speak briefly about his publication. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. And what you'll see on the screen is a textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy. And the book is addressed to the individual person who perceives him or herself to be victims of the system of white supremacy, which the textbook itself says is the only government on the planet worthy of the name government. And that's the name of the government. It doesn't have any other name except the system of white supremacy. You can't call it America or China or Western civilization or anything like that. When you say world government and say the system of white supremacy, that erases all so-called lines on the maps. And you're stuck with what? Racial classifications of people. Once you erase all the lines on the maps, then how are you going to classify what's going on? Three classifications: white people, non-white people, and white supremacists. And the white supremacists are the most powerful people on the planet that has ever been existed, rather, ever, people who have ever existed on this planet in the most powerful position in all of recorded history. Those white people who believe in and who practice the system of white supremacy. That doesn't say all white people. That's why you have those three classifications according to counter-racist science, according to the counter-racist code. White, non-white, that includes all black, brown, red, yellow. And these are just shades of black, by the way. All color, people of color, are shades of black. Brown is a shade of black. Yellow is a shade of black. Tan is a shade of black. Beige is a shade of black. So that comes under the non-white umbrella, with black being basic. Most of the universe is black. And according to most scholars, the original people of the planet were people with very, very dark skins, which were sometimes called black and or brown. So you have black being basic, and everything from that is black, starting with black, then brown, red, if you want to use the term red. Some people say that that's not really a color of a person's skin, but we sometimes say that it looks reddish, all right? And then you have beige, tan, yellow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But white is the absence of color, according to racial terms. Since you say colored people, then you say, well, if you're not a person of color, then you are a person with non-color, which is white. And then that person makes the decision, that person who is classified as white. See, making you, just because you're white doesn't say you're a white supremacist. That's a choice that a white person makes. That's why you have, according to the textbook for victims, those three classifications, not but three. Now, according to some census, a census in the Northwestern Hemisphere, I think the last one was 21 classifications. But none of these classifications make sense to me. You can look at them yourself and see, first of all, what are they for? What are these classifications for? Why classify people by race in the first place unless you have some type of agenda? And what is that agenda? Okay? And then if you notice in the Northwestern Hemisphere, white is at the top. Whereas if you're going to take it in alphabetical order, Afro-American or Asian or something along that order would be at the top if you're talking about alphabetical order, like most things are. But there's a reason why white is at the top when you take a census. And it doesn't have anything to do with the number of, you know, the population or anything like that, I don't think. So I won't digress, but I just wanted to throw that in there because that's what this book is about, straightening out this mess called racism, which never should have existed in the first place. Nobody should ever be thinking about even making a race of people. Racing against what? In order to accomplish what? These are the questions that the book raises. And coming up with answers that a victim of racism is supposed to have. All right? Not all answers, but trying to answer most of the things that will do what? Replace the system of racism with the system of justice. And that's what the book is addressed to. And you can get it by going to producejustice.com. And also there's a word guide to help you along that way. That's in addition to the basic book. producejustice.com.
All righty. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that call on the other side of the break because we don't have enough time. We're up against the break. So, caller, just hang on there. Mr. Fuller, you referred to color, particularly the red. Biblically, I think the Edomites were called the red people or reddish type of people, and it could be that that may have been or could have been or should be coming out of the black-skinned people, but you were correct in your assessment. Okay, what have we learned today so far? Well, we've learned particularly got to have a plan in a codified way. Mr. Fuller explained the what, the why, the how, and the last one, the expected result, which he said is in the book, and that is one of the many reasons why you need to get this book. Now, he didn't tell me to say anything about the book, and I don't get any monies from the book, but that information is in the book, and as he had mentioned, this is suggestions on what to do, and all our responses should be codified. He also mentioned that when you wake up in the morning, you have to ask yourself this one particular question. And Mr. Fuller, what was that question that we have to or should be asking ourselves in the morning?
Well, you ask yourself, really, what is your position in this world? What are you born for? You're born to solve problems. So what's the biggest problem on the planet among people that you can't solve? That if you don't solve that problem, you can't solve any other problem. Anything that you set out to, problems you set out to solve, say, in any area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. If you are a person classified as non-white, black, brown, red, yellow, et cetera, you have that problem in all of these areas of activity, and the biggest problem in all of these areas of activity, from economics to war, is the system of white supremacy. It dominates every move that you make, everything you plan to do.
Okay.
You plan to solve any problem in any of these areas of activity. You're going to run smack into racism.
All righty. With that, we'll see you in the second hour. TalkTimeRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. We'll see you in the next hour.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why? one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.